Welcome to the City Park Church Podcast. We are changing the culture of a city through the message of hope. Please share at cityparkchurch.com how God has touched your life through our messages. Thank you for listening.
It's me again. I feel I'm up here and you honor me every Sunday. That's enough now. Last week you celebrated me for my American citizenship and today for my birthday, so it should be done now. We celebrate you and we celebrate Jesus in this house. So I'm excited to speak this morning. My husband is on his way back as we speak. They left this morning at 4:30 so he can be here for the Dream Team rally. And I'm hoping he'll be has a good drive and not too much traffic. I think it took him 10 hours last time to get there to Sun Valley. So hopefully it's easier this time around. Are you ready? Okay, I'm ready. I have this message in my heart now for quite a while. And I wasn't quite sure about the clear direction. And so I was just listening to other ministries and words. And I was listening on Bethel's prophetic ministry one night. And the preacher was saying, at the end, he's just saying, praying for the people that came from all over the nation to come to that prophetic conference. And he was praying that over them that they would have visions and dreams and God would show them things to come. And I said, God, count me in. I really need a clear word what I should preach on. And that next morning, I woke up with three clear words spoken to me. And it was value, value, value. And when God says something three times, or mama or daddy says something three times, we know it's serious, right? And so I felt like God wanted me to speak on you are valuable. You are valuable. You matter. And so this is my message. You are valuable. And, you know, I could say to you, you're worthy, you're holy, you're important, you're precious, you're loved, you're not lost. And I could say these things to you, and you could say back to me, yeah, really? Those could just be words. Prove it. And that's the point where I might stumble. And so I can only introduce to you this morning the one who has proved it. Proven it? Better English, right? Jesus is the one who has proven his infatuation with you, his totally being in love with you, his giving his everything just for you. He is the one that has proven it. I have not died for you, even though we as pastors, we lay down our lives a lot for the flock and for the kingdom purposes, but we're blessed by it. But who truly, truly made the difference is not me. It could never be me. It's Jesus Christ and God himself. And we want to go a little bit deeper into that this morning. And so when I met my husband about 25 years ago, he was had gone through Bible school at Rhema Bible Training Center in Oklahoma. And he was teaching children, and he was doing children's crusades. And they had one method at that time. In order for children to learn scripture, they made songs. He had a whole band in his church, and they made songs out of scriptures. And there's one out of that will always stay with me because it's true. When you sing a scripture, you don't lose it, right? And in my, I'm not up here on the praise team, so I will still try to sing this, this song for you. And I hope it'll stick with you for the rest of your life like it did stick with me. And it's found in 1 Corinthians 6:20. And it goes like somewhat like this. You are bought with a price, paid for with the blood of Christ, saved till delivered and set free. 1 Corinthians 6:20. You are bought with a price, paid for with the blood of Christ. Yes, clap. Saved till delivered and set free. 1 Corinthians 6:20. You are bought with a price. You are bought with a price. And let's go in to further make that knowledge come alive. I want to look at two passages that are a little bit longer, so stay with me. But they are awesome. And the first one out of Colossians 1:12, I took out of the Passion Translation. And you might not have that because it's only sold in book form. But it is not just, it doesn't just take the Hebrew and the Greek out of the text, but it actually examined the Aramaic. That's the language that was actually spoken at Jesus' time. And it brings it really home. So you have it on your screen in the Passion Translation. And just if you follow me. And after I read through it, I will go a little bit more into detail on it. So I'm starting with Colossians 1:12. Our hearts soar with gratitude when we think of how Father God made us worthy to receive the glorious inheritance. Not a pitiful inheritance, not an okay inheritance, a glorious, more than enough, super power, out of this world kind of inheritance, just that mega, mega, mega wonderful, right? So receive the glorious inheritance freely given to us. This is what every holy believer is qualified to experience by living in the light. Or living in enlightenment. He has rescued us completely from the dominion of darkness, and by his love, he has translated us into the realm of his kingdom, where we are one with his beloved Son. For in the Son, all our sins are canceled, and we have the release of redemption through the ransom price he paid, his very blood. He is the divine portrait, the true likeness of the invisible God, and the firstborn heir of all creation. Now it goes into honoring him. For the Son created everything, both in the heavenly realm and on the earth, all that is seen and all that is unseen. Every seat of power, realm of government, principality and authority, it was all created by him and for his purpose. He existed before anything was made, so now everything finds completion in him. He is the head of his body, which is the church. And since he is the beginning and the firstborn, heir in resurrection, he must always be embraced as the most exalted one, holding first place in everything. For God so satisfied is satisfied to have all his perfection dwell in Christ. And by the blood of his cross, Everything in heaven and earth is restored and brought back to himself, back to its original intent, restored to innocence again. Even though you were once distant from him, living in the shadows of your evil thoughts and actions, he reconnected you back to himself. He released his supernatural peace to you through the sacrifice of his own body as the sin payment on your behalf, so that you would dwell in his presence. And now there's nothing between you and Father God, for he sees you as holy, flawless, and restored. Wow. This is so powerful. So incredibly powerful. Let's just look through some of those truths in here. Because I truly believe this morning, as you have a revelation of what really happened when he shed his blood, when you have a revelation what that meant for you, it will change your life forever. It will change your life forever. And I believe that we walk in revelation, right? We can only walk it out in our life if we really have a revelation of it. And I think so many things we can step into deeper. It's like you step in a river and it feels so good on a hot day to have your feet fresh. But you know what? Your knees and your rest of your body would like to feel some of that too. And the more we know God and the more we allow him to give us revelation, we get to swim. We get to swim. We get to get the fullness of it. So this is just a little scratch this morning to make you hungry for the things of God. Make you hungry to find revelation, find who he is to you and live in it and apply it. So if you look at right in the beginning of Colossians 12 there, the Father God made us worthy. He made you worthy. Say, I am worthy to receive the glorious inheritance. And it's not a stingy father that has an inheritance for his children. Like, I'm going to go die. I have to give that, all that stuff that I worked so hard for. I have to give that to my children now. No, it's so not like that. It's like there is this glorious inheritance, and it's freely given. It says freely given, freely given. There's no pressure. There's no pushing from it. It's freely given. If when you give something freely, there is a joy in it that wouldn't be there if you don't give it freely, right? If your kids nag you, and finally say, okay, you can buy this. You know, it's just not the same. But if you freely give something to someone, there's a reward in this. So and then it says after that, this inheritance is to be experienced. So could that mean that there is an inheritance that some of us have not experienced yet? Or only to a small extent? Well, it says here, this inheritance is to be experienced by any holy believer by living in the light or living in revelation of who he is. So when you live in the revelation of who you are in him and who Jesus truly is and how powerful and how wonderful and how great and how true and how life-giving, if you really, really live in that revelation, then you're experiencing your inheritance. Wow. Wow. It says here, he has rescued us completely. Not just, yeah, I rescue a little bit of you. No, he says he rescued us completely from the dominion of darkness. And anybody who knows this word, knows the Bible, says it clearly speaks of Satan, the demonic realm, the enemy, and the deceiver, the destroyer. And it's all in, you know, the kingdom of darkness that rules and has its ways in this world. And we get faced by it every so often. And we're like, whoa, that just didn't feel good. That was hate. That wasn't love. And we recognize the things of light and we recognize the things of darkness. And thank God we got to choose life and we got to choose light because he chose us and we said yes. And that's awesome. So he rescued us completely from the dominion of darkness. And by his love, he has translated us into the realm of his kingdom. Wow. So we are rescued out of darkness and powerful sources of darkness. And he completely rescued us. And then he gives us a mode of operation. A vehicle to be translated into the realm of his kingdom, where his power rules. And that mode of operation here is by his love. How do you get there? Oh, I take the train. Oh, I take the plane. I take a car. I take a truck. I didn't take a motorcycle. That's a mode of operation. That's a mode of transportation, right? But here he tells us the best mode of transportation is by his love. I mean, this scripture has everything in it. It's amazing. So by his love, not guilt and condemnation. He has translated us into the realm of his kingdom. And now where we are one with his beloved son. How else could we sit in heavenly places with him, right? Unless he's the head and we are the body. That's one. We're in Christ. And he provided that for us. He provided that for us. Because he loved us so much. For in the Son, all our sins are canceled, and we have the release of redemption through the ransom price he paid, his very blood. And when I thought of that scripture, I thought, well, it's like when somebody kidnaps somebody, right? They kidnap somebody a lot of times, and then they say, give us $1 million, and we release. So we were all kidnapped by the kingdom of darkness, and there was no way but one way to free us, and that was that ransom, that very blood that was unblemished and sinless. It was the one that could buy us back into the kingdom of light and truth and reality and God's kingdom. And so Jesus did that for us. He did pay that price. And that ransom money was paid for you and for me. Wow, his very blood. And then it says he's the head of his body, which is the church. And when I see scriptures like that, and I'm like, wow, he's the head, and we all are the body, the church. And there's so many, many people in this world that never, ever go to church. and they're disconnected with the head as the body, and the how can anything good come from something where the head is cut off the body? So the body and the head can only function when it's working together, right? So that's how important you are in the church, people. That's how important God sees the church. He sees himself leading the church. So he surely wants you in the church. He has born you. It's like, you know, our Gabby Young just had a beautiful baby daughter, Emma Rose, and she birthed her. But she birthed her into her arms. She birthed her into her life, into her family, and she'll take care of little Emma Rose. When we start believing, when we get born again, we should be born into a house, into a family, into a church, and we should grow there and be challenged there and be encouraged there and be loved well there. And as no church is perfect, I'm in it, right? It's not what matters. What matters is that he was perfect and that we get to serve him. And in that, turn around and become more like him. So it's pretty awesome what church is all about. And I congratulate you on the day where we had to move the clocks forward. Actually, there's a lot of people out of town and sick. I got lots of emails. So that's why it's kind of slim. But you guys made it, and because you value his headship over your life. And you understand church as he created it to be. And I love that. I love the church because he loves the church. And I love what he loves. And then it says in verse 20, and by the blood of his cross, everything in heaven and earth is restored and brought back to himself, back to its original intent, restored to innocence again. You might say, man, Adam and Eve, they messed it all up because of their sin. Mankind was fallen, and from that point on, we didn't live forevermore. We had to die. We had to labor hard. But here's a promise. Here's a promise that Jesus, the prophet, spoke of someone to come into this world who take the sin of the world and restore us back to our original intent. And so today I can tell you, when you believe and when I die, I know I go to heaven because my life will not be over when my body shuts down. I'm a spirit. I live in a body and I have a soul, and my spirit and my soul will be alive forever because I experienced Jesus Christ and his forgiveness and his blood. I am born again, and so I will not die. Even though my body might be laying flat sometime and in a long time to come, right? I will not die. That's when you hear all those stories of people who died and they saw themselves, their body laying there, and they were going to that real place. This is just the proving ground here. The real place is heaven. The real place is real, more real than this. And we are more alive there than even here. I mean, when you realize when somebody loves you or when you're in the presence of God, something in you comes alive. There's hope breathed in you. There's something of purpose breathed in you. And heaven is completely like that. It's not just glimpses of that that we have and we get to experience here. Heaven is full of it. Wow. We get to go there someday. I always say, I believe God didn't put much wisdom or much revelation about how good heaven is in the Bible. If he would have written more about the beauty of heaven and the beauty, you know, what we get to live and experience there, nobody would stay down here. It's just like, well, I'll go real quick, you know. And God has a plan because there's so many people that need to hear about Jesus. And so many people that need to be loved better. And so many people that need to know how Christ has provided forgiveness for them. And they don't have to live in shame and guilt and depression and pain any longer. That God has a plan of restoration. And when you say yes to him, he can restore you to your original intent. Wow. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. That's the true gospel right here. It says in 21, even though we were once distant from him, living in the shadows of our evil thoughts and actions, and we all have some of those areas that we've lived through that weren't pleasing, that weren't right, that weren't good, that were painful and hard and sinful. We all are sinners, the Bible says, and fall short of the glory of God. So I can't say I'm better or you are better. No, we've all sinned. Let's just plain level field here, right? We've all sinned, and Jesus came to do away with it. And he's the only one who could. I love him for that. So though we were distant from him, he did everything to reconnect us back to him. And it took years of prophetic words and grooming the Israelites for that moment where that seed could be planted in Mary and the Savior could be born. For one thing, to shed the love of God, to destroy the works of the devil, to preach the kingdom and the true Father in heaven, and then to die and actually take that blood of his and pay for our sins. So we too can walk from that death into life forever, ever, ever, forever. This is forever. That's why we celebrate. That's why we jump and we celebrate when we worship him, because this is forever. This is pretty cool. So it says here, he released his supernatural peace to you through the sacrifice of his own body as the sin payment on your behalf, so that you would dwell in his presence. Again, it's, I'm doing this for you so I can be with you. I'm doing this for you so you can see who I really am and what I truly have created for you. I'm doing this for you to see you whole and happy again, to see you with purpose and forever, forever purpose that lasts forever. So, and then it says at the end, and now there's nothing between you and Father God. He sees you as holy, flawless, and restored. You know, there's a lot of people out in our areas that don't come to church anymore because they feel unworthy. They feel like they've messed up. They've been in drugs. They've done all kinds of things. And they feel like they're not, people look down on them. And that's never the spirit of a church should carry. We are here so the people can come and receive Christ, right? And so we cannot miss what church is all about when it comes to the gospel. Yeah, we want everybody, but sometimes it's the lies of the enemy that says, who do you think you are? You can't be part of that anymore. You can't be part of, go to church. You haven't done this or you haven't done that, and you're not too much of this, and you're not you have too less of that. And the enemy just keeps us in constant turmoil and keeps a lot of people out of the church. Which, what is the church? It's just a bunch of saved people coming together, honoring he who saved us, right? So my husband and I, we both shared this, but it is just so beautiful that I want to say it again. The leader or the guy that started Kenneth Hagin Ministries is Kenneth Hagin Sr., and he was a preacher of faith. God told him, teach my people faith. And he came from more of a Baptist background, and he said at that time, they were gilded a lot in a lot of things. And so he saw himself more as God is this holy God, and he was kind of this worm, right? Unworthy. And he said one time he was in prayer, and he stood in a prophetic ministry, and he was in prayer, and he had a vision. And in that vision, Jesus came towards him, and he said, oh, no, and he fell on his knees to his feet and grabbed his feet and looked down, and he said, no one as unholy as I should look at your face. And you know what? At that moment, Jesus upended all his wrong theology, because Jesus said, get up on your feet. I have washed you in my blood. You are holy. Get up on your feet. I have washed you in my blood. You are holy. You are worthy. Wow. I have washed you in my blood. Stand. Get up on your feet. Hallelujah. I know this just completely touched me, and that's why I wanted to share it again. The next scripture I wanted to share is out of Hebrew 9. If we can go there. Hebrew 9. Got too many papers up here. 12 to 15, and it says here, and I want to go a little bit more into that sacrifice, because Hebrews makes a great example of the blood of Christ and his sacrifice and shares that. It says here, he did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. However much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God. Wow. He did not enter with the blood of goats. In the Old Testament, it was like God had that law for the Jewish people that they had to bring an offering and a sacrifice to cover their sins as an awareness of that someday that perfect lamb would come. And that they just didn't count up. They couldn't be perfect. And so God gave him a way out till the true sacrifice would come, because Jesus had to come in the perfect time. And so the Old Testament was full of prophesying about that he, the perfect lamb, would come and take the sins of the world. And so, but they had to apply that blood. And so when the people of Israel came, their yearly thing where they had to offer up an offering for their sins, they would come. And the priest would not look at them. The priest would look at the lamb or the goat or whatever they brought. And if it was flawless, if it was blameless, then the worshiper was accepted. And that was supposed to teach the people that once that one lamb would come and be slaughtered, that people wouldn't have to look at their dirtiness and their sin and where they didn't mount up and where they messed up. And they wouldn't just be destroyed by that, but that they could bring and apply that blood and they would be accepted. It's so very beautiful. That whole picture is so beautiful. And in Hebrews 10, we go from verse 8 now. It says, first he said, sacrifice and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them. Even though it wasn't something that God enjoyed, because it was just a cover-up. It was just a preparation. It wasn't the real deal. So God wasn't pleased with that in that sense. Although the law required them to be made, then he said, here I am. I have come to do your will. That's why Jesus came. Here I am. I have come to do your will. He sets aside the Old Testament, the first covenant, to establish the second, hallelujah, the new covenant. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And he didn't sit down because he was tired. He sat down because it was finished. It was finished. It was finally finished. The work of redemption was finally completed, finished, restored. Now it's just up to us to recognize it and live in it, right? So since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Obviously, we still sometimes struggle. We still sin. We still need forgiveness. That's just the nature of humankind. But we get to come into his presence and say, I am sorry, forgive me. And that blood is powerful to wash us and cleanse us, right? As the Bible says. So the Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, this is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my law in their hearts and I will write them on their minds. Then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where they have been forgiven, where there's remission of sin, there's no longer a need for an offering. Or it says here, there's no longer any sacrifice for sin. Wow. There's no more offering, no more sacrifice needed. A lot of religions ask for your sacrifice. You only accept it if you do this and go after the teachings of this guru and apply this and live like this. And there's all these restrictions, and they're not the offering. The sacrifice has been made. Now we love on him and we serve him and we obey him for our good. So we live successful lives, but it's not for our redemption. It has been done. It has been done. You are saved. If you believe, you are redeemed, it is done. You get to now explore it, and you get to live in revelation of that and get deeper and deeper knowing him in the unseen world. And then it says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith. So God's desire is again and again, come close, come close, come closer, come closer. There's this little story, and I'm going to end soon, but there's this older couple, right? And the guy thinks, wow, my wife is getting deaf. She's getting hard of hearing. So he wants to do a little test. And he says, go, honey, sit on this couch. I'm going to go to the back of the room. I'm going to put my back to you. And I'm going to see and going to test your hearing. And so he's all the way back on the other side of the room. And he says, can you hear me now? Nothing. No response. So he's coming back halfway in the room and says, can you hear me now? Nothing. No response. So he's all the way up to the couch and says, can you hear me now? And she says, for the third time, I said I can hear you. So who's the one hard of hearing, right? So I just want to encourage you, if you just get a little closer, if you just get a little closer to the Lord and read his word, if you just get a little closer, you know, when God says draw near and come closer, there's got to be an advantage for us drawing close to him. There's got to be an advantage coming to him in prayer and walking into that supernatural, into that kingdom. See, the kingdom of God, when he says come closer, when he says here, come with boldness and confidence to enter the most holy place. What is the most holy place? In the Old Testament, it was the tabernacle, a picture of heaven. And now we can say, well, you know, it is heaven, and I'll go there someday. But this is not the whole truth. The most holy place in the New Testament is his presence. It's the spirit realm where he lives, where his kingdom is. And he says, come closer. Come, may I have your heart. Trust me. Come in the blood. Come. See, you have given the access code to come into his presence. It's not your goodness. It's not my blamelessness, because I could be blamed, that matters. It is the Lamb's blamelessness. It's what Jesus has produced and his blood that covers me and wiped me clean and washed me and restored me. So I want you to know, you know, when you go to a business or when you have a computer, you need an access code. In a hospital, in certain ways, you need that code to get in. The system to get into the information and the resources, right? The blood of Jesus has been given to you as believers, and it is your access code into the presence and the most holiest of God. So whenever you draw in, you push that blood of Jesus and his provision, his information, his wisdom, his healing belongs to you. It belongs to you. It belongs to you. It belongs to you. You've given the access code. Will you go? Will you use it? Because he can't do that. He can't do that for us. That's our job. We are the body. We have to access his presence. We have to access his presence. And one last illustration is, remember like 9 months ago where we heard in the news all the time about the Ebola virus. It was so deadly. It was so deadly and it's killed so many people. And there were so many doctors with, you know, Doctors Without Borders, and so many people who volunteered there. And one day a doctor attracted the Ebola virus in Liberia, and it was deadly. There was just no hope. And you know, there was this serum, I think it was from monkeys or something. It was this little amount they had that they had experimenting with. And they gave that to their doctor, and that doctor survived. That doctor produced those antibodies to kill that virus. And so that doctor's blood beat that sickness and that disease. And so when another doctor was coming down and was infected with the virus, it was like, we don't have any of that serum anymore. What are we going to do? And so what they did, they took the blood of the man who conquered the virus and gave the other doctor a transfusion. And because that doctor, that first guy, had produced the antibodies to kill that virus, with that blood transfusion, this doctor too survived and beat that virus. And I want to encourage you this morning that the blood of Jesus, it needed the blood of Jesus to conquer the sin virus that we all have been infected by. Nobody's not infected by the sin virus. And it's that very blood, it's that very blood of your Savior. And I'm going to cry because it's so powerful. It's that very blood that conquered your sin and set you free forever from your shame, from your guilt, from sickness. He promised that He's your healer. He promised He'll take your shame and take it on Himself for you. And that's how He proved His love. So I can say all this morning, you know, prove it, Pastor Sibylle. Prove how much God loves me. I just did my point. Jesus proved it. Nobody else can, but He has. So I encourage you this morning to take that blood, take that access code, draw into His presence, learn more about Him, understand His good plan for your life, because He is truly the only Savior for this world. And we can live in that freedom of being children of God, knowing His Spirit and knowing His Word, knowing who we are and how much He paid to free me and how much He paid to free you. Let's just stand up. Hallelujah. Father God, we honor You this morning for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, Your Son that You loved over everything, that created the world, that was by Your side, and You were willing to let Him go and go through that suffering so we don't have to, so we can be forgiven and that sin virus be broken off us, that shame, that guilt, that blame, those sicknesses, the depression has no power over us anymore because we carry the antidote. We have it in our blood if we believe in Jesus Christ and faith in His blood. Faith in His blood. Father, we receive that blood this morning that was on the cross poured out over all of us. We receive what Jesus has done on the cross to save us this morning. And we thank You with all of our hearts. And we ask You to reveal Yourself to us more and more, so we come with boldness and draw near into Your presence, so we can live powerful, supernatural lives, not in our own strength, but guided and blessed by You, Father in heaven, because nothing stands between us. You see us as holy and flawless and so loved. And we thank You for Your love for us this morning in Jesus' name. Father, I bless Your church, and I pray that we will walk out of this feeling so valued and so precious and so special and so blessed as we apply the power of Your blood and the cross. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. God bless you. And if there's anybody here that needs prayer, please come forward. We have some people here that love to pray for you and minister life to you this morning. Have a great week. And grab some of the Easter egg and the Watoto things. You know, I'd love for you to go down to the park and pass some out during the week and just make it known that God is good in this house. Amen.